It's been an intense summer for natural disasters across the country. Fires, floods and cyclones have lashed a largely drought-parched landscape. And this year's federal budget reflects how expensive it can be to clean up after these disasters hit. From Parliament House in Canberra, Clint Jasper and Kath Sullivan have this wrap of the budget.
Good afternoon from Parliament House in Canberra. Now, one of the biggest new items in this year's budget that will significantly affect the region's if it becomes a reality, is the Emergency Response Fund. It's taking $3.9 billion from the Dormant Education Investment Fund, and the plan is to make about $150 million a year available up to 2023-24, and these funds will basically be able to be pulled out when existing disaster relief programs are exhausted. So that's a pretty big spend. It'll be managed by the Future Fund, and it's all aimed at cleaning up after these disasters, which we've had plenty of this summer.
Certainly have, Clint. And I think the really interesting thing about this is going to be how that relates to drought and whether drought is considered a natural disaster. Of course, this fund will sit next to a Future Drought Fund, which will be worth up to $5 billion. The government has certainly made a lot of that announcement since Prime Minister Scott Morrison brought that to the public's attention in November of last year.
We are waiting for details because there are none currently.
Look, we do want to wrap this quickly. A lot of the budget last night had previously been announced, particularly in terms of recovery for the cattle industry in northern Queensland following the flood. We do know there have been changes made to the farm household allowance throughout this current drought period. Last night it went a step further with $3 million in this year's budget to change the way that farmers' incomes are means tested when applying for the farm household allowance. Essentially what it means is if you're forced to sell your livestock, if you put those proceeds into a farm management deposit, they will not be considered as part of your eligibility for that FHA fortnightly payment.
We've had some statements from the opposition this morning and they're calling a bit of BS on that farm household allowance. They said basically every time the government has tinkered with the FHA, it's fallen short of farmers' expectations. And I guess if you were looking at the evidences, a lot of eligible farmers who haven't bothered to apply yet.
So there's fewer than 6,500 farmers across Australia who currently receive this payment. The National Farmers Federation says there's something like 85,000 farming families across the country. And that was certainly something that its president, Fiona Simpson, picked up on last night. Very keen to see the rest of the details of this farm household allowance review, which has been conducted across the country over the past couple of months.
Kath, I reckon two of the most exciting parts of this budget for farmers will be, one, the changes to the luxury car tax. Basically, if you're an eligible primary producer or tourism operator, from the middle of next year, election outcome dependent, of course, you'll be able to get a rebate on any luxury car tax you pay up to $10,000. Right now, it's about $3,000. So might see a few new farm vehicles roaming about the countryside.
When I read luxury, I think of limousines.
Yes.
But we'll apply.
Also Land Cruisers.
It's interesting that asset tax write-off. I've been speaking with the Deputy Prime Minister. We'll hear from him shortly. He was really keen to talk about investment in silos on farm, which can also be written off. I think that is in part because they're manufactured, or a lot of them are manufactured in his electorate. But he said it's like Cape Canaveral when you have a look at all the silos popping up across his part of the world.
And specifically with that, there was an extension to that instant asset write-off. So if you're a business with less than $50 million of turnover a year, the instant asset write-off has been increased from $25,000 to $30,000. So that's a bit of a sweetener for small and medium businesses. But all of this, as I just mentioned, is dependent on the election outcome. And it's widely expected that the government will call an election before this week is over. And while we don't want to conflate state and federal issues, there were some worrying signs in the New South Wales state election for the Nats. You've just been speaking with the Deputy Prime Minister.
I certainly was. Surprisingly, he didn't want to talk about that too much. Michael McCormack and I have just sat down and I began by asking him how he'll remember this year's budget, and he said it's all about being back in black.
Back in black, surplus. Fantastic. First time for 12 years. Labor hasn't produced a surplus for 30 years, 1989. So, you know, But the fact is, it's also a budget for regional Australia. It's also an infrastructure budget. So the $100 billion infrastructure figure is really significant.
Much has been said about the Nationals following the New South Wales election. There's this theory that you're on the nose. Do you think you've put enough money into regional Australia to convince Nationals voters to stick with you at the election?
Well, we're always going to put money into regional Australia. Regional Australia is hurting at the moment. There's no question. The drought has really taken its toll on regional communities, and particularly those in central, western, riverina areas that I represent, but indeed right throughout New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, South Australia. I was in Western Australia last week, and they're complaining too now that it's dry there. We've had a couple of decent showers in Wagga Wagga over the last fortnight, so 25 mils and then 28 mils following up, but a couple of showers aren't going to change the drought. And I really get perturbed when, not the ABC, but indeed you get some commercial channels, they'll have a bit of a shower of rain up in, you know, the northern areas of New South Wales. They'll get some Pitt Street farmer with his galoshes on, and they'll go out and they'll do a report on the fact that, oh, the drought's broken. No, the drought's going to take many months, indeed years, to...
There wasn't actually that much new money for drought in last night's budget, though. You'd already announced the $5 billion future drought fund. We've seen increases to the access to the farm household allowance. Can farmers doing it tough expect any more support from this government?
Well, look, concessional loans, yes, and we'll continue to monitor the drought, and we'll continue to provide the tax relief. And I think that farmers would look at the tax relief we've already provided, the concessional loans that were part of the package last night, and the future drought fund, and say, yes, the government responded very quickly when the onset of the drought really took its toll.
Treasurer Josh Frydenberg announced a new natural disaster response fund, $3.9 billion. Mm. That's a lot of money. Is there any detail to go with that?
Well, look, when emergency disasters occur in the future, whether they're flood, fire, whatever the case might be, there's that fund for the government to fall back on. The fact is, when you're not in surplus and you have such incidents as the cyclone, which ravaged the top end of Australia, killing 500,000 cattle and, you know, washing away fences and other infrastructure, it really takes a hit on the bottom line. And, you know, we got $39 million out the door in the first week. And, of course, it's the assistance that we've provided and an incredible response by the Prime Minister and Linda Reynolds, I have to say. You know, they didn't ask for dockets and receipts for farmers. They just said, look, if they need the assistance, put $75,000 in their bank account, let them help them recover as quickly as they can.
There appear to be quite a few sweeteners or a lot of investment going toward Queensland. Can we expect you to be spending most of your time over this forthcoming election campaign in the Sunshine State?
Well, I'll be spending quite a bit of time. In fact, I'm looking forward to going to Michelle Landry's Capricornia electorate this Friday. Looking forward to addressing the Queensland Press Club this Friday. I'll be spending a bit of time in Queensland. We've got some outstanding members up there. A bit of New South Wales, Western Australia, Victoria, Tasmania as well. It's a new battlefront for the National Party. We've got some outstanding members down there. One senator and some outstanding candidates.
How do you walk both lines of both sides of the street when you've got, it appears like, a different approach to policy coming from the Queensland members of your party compared to that from the South, and even from Western Australia? The state party there seems to be distancing itself from the federal party.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that anybody's distancing ourselves from the federal party. I mean, National Party people generally think alike on every issue. And if you ask me a question and you ask Matt Canavan a question, or if you ask Darren Chester a question, generally you get the same answer. We think very alike. What we want is lower energy prices. What we want is people to pay less tax. What we want is better roads. What we want is drought assistance, you know, when and where required.
And speaking of time, we don't have much left, but before we do wrap up our summary of the 2019-20 budget, Clint Jasper, I do think it's worth pointing to an agri spend in terms of biodiversity.
Yeah, this one is basically $30 million to initially work out a methodology to value biodiversity on farms, with the hope of eventually establishing a market for biodiversity credits, kind of like the way that carbon is traded. So it's a pretty forward-thinking and new announcement that looks like it's been, you know, $30 million to develop a methodology as some serious funding for that.
And something that Labor has sort of lent in principle support to as well. You and I met with industry leaders this morning, agriculture stakeholders, they like to call themselves. And while their general consensus was that the budget was...
a bit meh.
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, for agriculture, nothing huge. There was certainly a lot of excitement for this biodiversity announcement, and more than one person told me that they think it has the potential to change the way we farm here in Australia.
National Farmers Federation, in its strategy looking forward to 2030, actually says it wants 5% of all farm incomes to come from
biophysical assets.
Biophysical assets, that's right. So trading these types of credits. So it's a kind of new frontier for Australian farmers.
Clint, thanks so much for helping me dissect this year's budget. Are you up for the opposition leader's budget reply tomorrow night?
Carl Sullivan, I will be out of the bubble and back at home, so I'll leave that one to you. And for now, we'll hand you back to the Country Hour.
Thanks to Clint Jasper and Kath Sullivan for that report.